Romans 13, 11 to 14. And that, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of this, out of sleep. For now is your salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night groggy and go right back to sleep. Other times we wake up and the alarm is minutes away from going off, and we just lie there feeling tired and like we need more sleep. So we reach out and turn the alarm off or change the time to another time, thinking that a few more minutes will revive us and make our day go better. But usually what ends up happening is we sleep in, and then we have to scurry about to get ready to be wherever it is that we need to be. The rest of our day is a wreck because we are behind and the whole day becomes a blur. But we do that with our spiritual lives also. The Holy Spirit is our alarm clock. And at times he will prompt us, need to do this, need to change that, need to read this, need to do that, need to take on this new task, you need to start memorizing scripture, you need to, the list could go on and on and on. But that's the Holy Spirit's alarm clock going off with you. We just don't feel like it's important to deal with right now. We'll wait some other day, some other time, and we'll take care of it later. And we need to think it through some more. That's a big commitment. You know, I'm not too sure I'm ready to do that. And so we delay responding to the Spirit of God. And he says four things this week. He's going to tell us to wake up. He's going to tell us to ward off. He's going to tell us to walk. And he's going to tell us what to wear. And so today I want you to be ready to have the alarm clock go off in your spiritual life. The Spirit of God has been knocking at your door for a long time. He says to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And I'm afraid, if you're like me, that there are many a day that the Holy Spirit is grieved with me. Oh, I do my Bible reading. Oh, I do my scripture memory. Oh, I do my prayer list. But God is saying, I need you to stop and do this. And I do something like I did on Saturday. Saturday morning, I was sitting getting ready for men's breakfast. And I had my outline and my passage that I wanted to work with. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, stop. I got a different aspect. And I had to go into that meeting without notes, with just a few scribbles of things in my mind. And I had to follow. And it seemed to me, there was only three of us, but it seemed to me that there was a blessing as God taught us one word and one word only. What was that word?
Preparedness.
Preparedness. Okay? And it was a great time. But I had to let go of what I knew and how I wanted to handle things, and I had to let the Spirit of God wake me up. Right? Because we can all get lulled into our routines, can't we? We can all get lulled into the way, well, Lord, this is the way I've always done it. I can't change that now. This is a habit. It's going to take a long time. I can't say yes to that now. I might not be true. Right? I can't say yes to this. And so we put off these decisions that the Spirit of God is stirring in our hearts. And he says this, and that knowing the time, what time is it? It's not 11:37. It's time for you and I to respond when the Spirit of God begins to speak to us. When we get that inkling, when we get that feeling, when we hear a nudge in our head, when all of a sudden we're reading the scriptures and something jumps out to it. It may just be a word, it may be a phrase. It could be like this, the song that we sang. The verse was in Psalm 27, verse 6, right? My head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me. I will offer the sacrifices of joy. And that word, sacrifices of joy, has been stuck in my head for quite a while. Because I need to realize that sometimes I need to sacrifice my joy in order to serve the Lord. And so have I spent the time thinking about what does it mean to sacrifice? What joy do I need to sacrifice? You know, is it my hot showers? I hate cold showers. I like hot showers, right? Is it my cookies? I love cookies, everyone knows that, right? Yeah. Is that my joy that I need to but I need to sing praises. Yea, I will sing unto the Lord. And so we need to be involved in this, and knowing that the time that the Spirit of God is moving in your heart, that's the time. It's not, well, I got to think about that. I got to study that out. I need somebody else to help me, right? Somebody else needs to take the lead up. We always are full of excuses, and we miss God's timing. And because we miss God's timing, we miss God's place, blessings, right? And he says, I know. And that knowing the time that now is high time, ring, that we wake up to the alarm of the Spirit of God that was in it. You know what's hard about that, though? The hard thing about that is usually the Spirit of God's alarm clock is a still quiet voice. And it's so easy to overlook it. It's so easy to ignore it. It's so easy to say, well, I don't have my hearing aids and I can't hear it. Right? We have all kinds of excuses that we make instead of waking up to what God is prompting us to do, instead of going about the task that God has called us onto, that he's calling us onto. We say, well, Lord, you need to give me a little more definition. You say follow me, but Lord, where am I supposed to follow you to? And what time are we supposed to meet? And God just said, follow. And are you following? You see, now is the time, and it says that we need to awake out of sleep, trying to rest. A lot of times, we don't know if we can get involved in ministry. We cannot do with the Lord because it's going to take energy. I have to change my schedule. I have to. And we say, I don't want to have to. And so we miss out on the blessing. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. And here's the problem, folks. Whenever we hear the word salvation, what do we think of? Born again, eternal life. But not in every situation is the word salvation for that. The word salvation could very easily be translated delivered. So what is it that we are needing to be delivered from? When the Spirit of God is prompting us to do something and we end up having to have excuses, or we don't have the time, or what? Well, they're all excuses, right? Well, maybe that is time for us to be delivered. At that moment when the Spirit of God is talking to us is the moment that we need to be making a decision, not putting it off. We need to realize that his alarm clock is going off, clang, 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 clang. And he's trying to prompt us. He will never force us. Because he respects our will. Because he wants our love. And he knows that if he forces us to do something, we can't show love. And so now is the time. And now is our salvation nearer than we think. We, God's ability to deliver you from those other things that you're worrying about. Yeah. I have some too. Whether it be worrying about an upcoming surgery. Whether it be worried about how am I going to pay my bills. Whether being worried about how can I possibly afford to give to the church. All of those things are things that the Spirit of God prompts us. And we say, well, I got to figure this out first. I got to go back and I got to get out my week monthly bills and see where can I squeeze it out. No, now is the time. Put God first and he'll take care of things. God is so miraculous. And he works so many miracles on our behalf. And so we need to realize that what? Our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Do you believe that God can work through you and with you? Do you believe that he's right there? Then why not say yes? Why not wake up to that alarm clock? You know, in Sunday school, we've been in 1 Thessalonians chapter. And in what should have been today's lesson, we got involved in a question. Good thing. It was a great time. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 through 6, it says, we are all the children of light and the children of the day, that being the day of the Lord. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Do you see their call there for us to awake? We need to be watched. We need to be looking around. What is God? Are you anxiously anticipating the Spirit of God to move in your heart when you're reading your Bible? Are you anxiously looking for the Spirit of God to move in your heart when you're here listening to a sermon? Are you watching for that? Lord, what is it that you want to teach me today? Are you sober? In other words, are you not intoxicated? And what do we think about when we say intoxicated? Alcohol, drugs. But how about all the other idols in our lives? Right? Our TV, our cars, our houses. Guilty. We get involved and distracted by other things. And so we need to realize that we're supposed to be the children of the light. We are supposed to be behaving like Jesus's children. We're not supposed to be participating in the things of darkness. We need to find out, is the Spirit of God shining on this, or is the world blinding me from seeing what God wants me to do? And so we need to be aware and we need to wake up. Mark chapter 13, verses 34 through 37 puts it this way. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. And he said, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What would happen if Jesus Christ were to come now after having told you, I want you to stand up and... what? What is God asking you to do? And you're over there debating with him. You're over there making excuses. And what if he were to come now? And that opportunity, that blessing of serving, disappears. You see, we need to be ready. We need to realize that the hour is at hand. We need to wake up! So that we can be of service to the Lord while he is calling us. Do you realize that if you ignore the God's calling, that he'll just be quiet? And you will never enjoy the blessing. 1 Corinthians 15:34 puts it this: awake to righteousness. Are you waking up and saying, I want to live for Jesus? Or are you waking up and saying, oh, here goes another day, and go through the routine? Are we looking every day to awake and live the righteous life and sin not? That means that there is not only a positive, I'm focused on what God wants, but I also need to say, the world wants me to do this and I'm not going to do that. That's why the watching. We have to be able to discern between the left and the right, between righteousness and sin. What? Know ye not to whom you yield yourselves as servants to obey? His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Romans 6:16. Ephesians 5:14 puts it this way, and I'll never forget this sermon from one of the first sermons I heard. And it says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and the Christ shall give thee light. Now here we are, imagine this, we are in this stately, magnificent Presbyterian church, high vaulted ceilings, a lower level, and then the balcony in the back. And in front of you is a huge, wonderful pipe organ. And we're sitting there and the pastor is preaching. And as he's preaching, the deacons, I don't know why the deacons are always on the left side. That seems, the elders are there and there. And as he's preaching this passage, and he comes over here and all of a sudden the alarm clock goes off. And you should have seen the amount of people, not just the trustees, not just the elders, but a lot of people woke up. Awake. And I think that's exactly what we need. We need to awake. We get into such a stupor, we get into such a routine that we're not paying attention to the voice of God. And we need to awake. We need to be shocked. We need to be shook. We need to realize that there's a need for a great change in our lives. And so we need to do this. Awake out of sleep. There is no longer time to wait. It's time to get to work. No fence sitting, no excuses. that Jesus is coming and the world is filled with those that we need, that there are no more excuses. Jesus is coming and the world is filled with those that need to hear about Christ. God's ability and desire to give you victory over those things that you struggle with is closer than you might think. But are you willing to wake up? Philippians 3:14, Paul puts it this way. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the first question you have to ask yourself, are you awake? Have you been woke up? Are you looking to answer the call of Jesus? Well, if you are, then the next thing you need to do is you need to start warding off. Warding off the things that are drowning and causing you to miss the voice, the alarm clock that God has set. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Our time is short, whether it be our lifespan or the ability to influence others, or the imminent return of our Savior to remove us from this world before his wrath descends upon this earth, and the unbelieving populace that is left behind. It's time to wake up and be about Father's business. We need to stop acting like the Spirit of, we need to stop and act like the Spirit of God. The light of God's Word is like the Spirit of God, and the light of God's Word is not influencing us. We need to allow it to shape our lives. Instead of sleeping and ignoring the work and prompting of the Holy Spirit, we need to start making changes. We need to wake up and get busy for God. We need to stop engaging in those activities that are thwarting our spiritual growth. What is it that's consuming your time that you're not, don't say, oh, well, I don't have time to read my Bible. Oh, I can't memorize scripture. Oh, I always fall asleep when I pray. What is it? You need to start warding that off. You need to find it and you need to say, I got to figure out how to peel this out of my life. And I need to get focused on what God wants me to do. We have so many excuses, right? Look what it says, and this is a long passage. I want you to turn there to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 19. Most of us would automatically say, oh, that's the armor of God passage. Yes, it is. But let's read it one more time. Let's listen to it. He says, finally. What does finally mean? Hey, this is the last thing I want to say to you. This is an important thing. Finally. This is the main point. Get the point, Paul says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in yourself, and in the power of his might, not yours. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Yep, he has a lot of strange things he likes to do and confuse us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You do realize that there is a whole army. An army of this world and an army of the devil that is out trying to keep you from living for Jesus. He can't take away your salvation, but he can sure render you ineffective so nobody else comes to know Jesus. And so he's doing everything he can. That's not flesh and blood. It's not your failures. It's the influence of the world that comes upon you. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, not part of it, but all of it, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. As we get older, it's more and more of a struggle to stand, isn't it? But as we're in Christ, we need to continue to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching therefore unto all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Are you got the armor of God? Are you ready to ward off? Do you realize that there is a need for you to recognize that there is an enemy out there that's trying to thwart you? And are you equipping yourself to fend it off? Do you have that shield where you can protect yourself from all the wild schemes of the devil? Do you have the sword of the Spirit so that you can continue to fight for the Lord? Are these things about you? The armor of light is the light of God's word. It is putting it out in front of us. The Lord Jesus, believing that he can protect and to shield us from the fiery darts that the devil may throw at us. A lot of people say, well, I don't know how come I keep following into temptation. I don't know why I keep doing these things. I wish I could be changed. I ask you, are you taking the simple path? The first path? Are you opening up the scriptures and reading them? And I get this all the time. This doesn't make any sense to me. Why is the Bible repetitious? And here's what I've come to understand more and more as I've read through the Bible several times, is that every time I read through, I get a little piece of information. God embeds that little piece of information in my mind. I'm not saying he embeds it all, but little pieces stick with me. And the next time I'm reading through, I'm reading about Solomon and his temple, and all of a sudden I begin to think about all that Solomon did. And I begin to think about all the things that Solomon's mistakes, and I say, Lord, how does this help me now? How is that? Because of the investment in time previous, God begins to build on what I have stored, and he brings greater understanding. If you're not understanding the will of God, maybe it's because you have not been in the Word of God, and therefore you cannot put the pieces together. God has given you a piece, but you don't have the rest of the puzzle. All you have is a single piece and out in the middle of nowhere. You've got to be in the scriptures. You've got to be asking the Spirit of God, or you're never going to ward off those things that are influencing you and taking you into a state of uselessness. The day of salvation is at hand. That means today. Why do we keep putting it off? Why do we keep making excuses instead of saying, yes, I will. I will what? I will commit myself to reading the Bible. I will commit myself to praying for those that are lost around me. I will commit myself to, maybe the Spirit of God's going to put this on your heart. Go all in the back, grab a track, take that track, and go down the road, and the first person you see, put it in their hands. I've had it happen to me. You know? And I'm going, that doesn't make any sense, Lord. He said, just obey. Right? But the world is saying, oh, you don't want to do that. They won't know you, and it's not going to make any sense. And so I have to ward off those thoughts. We need to ward off the things that the world is throwing at us and be obedient. We need to awake to what the Spirit of God is calling us to do. Darts of doubting. We doubt our salvation. We doubt that God is our fortress. We doubt that God is really able to comfort me. We doubt that the Comforter can really teach me. You don't know how hard-headed I am, Lord. Look, if God can hang on to the nation of Israel for over 4,000 years, and you want to see some hard-headed people, you ain't got a thing on them. Your excuse is nothing. He is able to teach you. He's also able to convict you. You say, I don't know why my life is not growing like it should. Well, you know what? God has the ability to come around and say it's because of, and he puts his finger right on it. You go, ow, that hurts. But you need to realize that that's God's alarm clock. You got to change this if we're going to go forward. You need to do this if we want to go forward. You see, God is out there and he's working. He wants to advise us. He wants to give us light. Light does what? In the darkness, light shows me where I can go. Light can be something that gives me direction. Light can be something that goes over here and says, and somebody saw it today, it says, look at all the stuff in the carpet. Somebody needs to vacuum. Oh, the light's louder to see that if it was dark. You know, when I come in here and I'm just running, I don't see half of it. But somebody, God gave him attention, right? And so he lights the way for us. He is our light. And we need to understand that when he turns the light on, we need to do something about what he shows us. Something to do, something to exclude, either way. And so now, we've awoke, we've warded off all these things that are influencing us, and now we need to learn to walk. Because it says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. We need to get out and travel through this world. It doesn't say sit. We need to get out. You know, during the Renaissance and the early Dark Ages, the religious leaders, the monks, would go and they would hide themselves in holes and in castles and in complexes, and they would not want any contact with the outside world so that they could focus solely on worshiping the Almighty God. I'm sure glad Jesus didn't do that. And he was a holy man. Right? And sometimes we think, well, I've got to be holy, therefore I need to not do anything with those people out there. But it says what? It says, let us walk honestly. Where are we going to walk if it's not in this world? And we've got to walk honestly. In other words, let people see your flaws, but let people see your burdens also. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in trying to cause an angry debate. I mean, we've seen the results of that, right? Charles Kirk, I found this phrase. He says, let us disagree agreeably. And I thought, you know, today that is not the way we are. I've got to have my way, and you got to believe in me, or you're wrong, and if you're wrong, I'm going to get rid of you. That's rioting. That's what rioting does. You don't agree with me, I'm going to make your life a hell. Right? Or I'm going to end your life, whatever it is. And so we need to avoid that type of attitude. God doesn't do that with us. We shouldn't do that with the world around us. We need to be careful about rioting and drunkenness, being controlled by other things other than the Spirit of God. That can be your neighbors. That can be your Facebook page. That can be Instagram. That can be Fox News. That can be ABC, CBS, NBC, the alphabet soup of news. But are we listening to the Spirit of God? Are we going to walk in this world, putting aside, walking through this, not trying to riot, not trying to unduly influence people, but putting the word out there in front of us. Not trying to forcefully turn the world to our way of thinking, not destroying anything that gets in our way, arguing and maybe even killing, as in the day. In other words, without any hidden or deceptive motive. Are we true to our faith? Or are we hiding it? Making sure that all that we are doing can stand in the light of Jesus. He is the light of the world. And stand for the day that he has given us to live in. Are you standing today for Jesus? Not in an uncontrollable fit, not under the influence and power of greed, alcohol, drugs, chambering. What a weird world. Chambering. Still don't know that I fully understand the meaning, but this is a consistent theme throughout the scriptures. Chambering means to go to bed with others. Sexual promiscuity. Are we using sensual attraction to get our way? Are we using sexual attraction? Is that a distraction for us? Okay? And when I say sensual, let's remind us sometimes flirting, okay? Sometimes flattery, okay? They're a type of way of deceiving people in order for us to get our way. And he says, if we're going to walk, we can't be that way. Okay? We shouldn't be that way. And he goes on to say, wantonness, appealing to desires of people to attract them. Are we giving them a false motive? I've always wrestled with this, and I still don't know what to do with it, but I'll just share my wrestling, okay? We have kids' programs, right? And we want to encourage young people to memorize the scripture. So what do? We create a program that will give them a reward if they memorize a verse of scripture. And I wonder, is that a false pretense?
Now, I still don't have an answer. I'm still comfortable with doing it, right? Because they're young, they're learning. They haven't come to that point of full abstract. So you're teaching them solid things. And besides that, the Lord says he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so rewards aren't a terrible thing, you know? So am I being honest about that? Are we being honest about that? Are we walking in a way that is honest before the world? Or are we trying to unduly influence them, fake it, make them offers, you know, false pretenses to bring them to Christ? Now, let's not go there. So, we need to ward off this behavior, but we need to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Remember the story of the emperor's new clothes? Okay? Remember that story? Here's an emperor, and he is so vain. He thinks that he's the greatest king because he has the finest wardrobe that ever was ever developed. He had a outfit for every hour of the day. That's where he spent his money, was on his clothing. And along come these two shysters, and they come into town, and they see the vanity of the king, and they say, hey, king, we can make you a magnificent robe that no one else has. We have this special, we can make this special fabric on our special looms, and we can weave it together, and we can, we need some silk, and we need the money for all these things, and we can weave you this fabric. And so he says, oh, I can have the latest and greatest. I can be the diva of divas. What is a man called? Not diva. Anyhow, sidetrack. And so they get busy. They take the king's money. They buy these looms, and they get them all set up. And the king he's so excited to see his new outfit. And so he goes in and he checks in on them. And here's these looms moving, and nothing. He can't see anything. And he asks the guys, and he says, oh, well, we're making a special fabric. And the fabric is so special that anyone that is a fool can't see it. But the wise, they can see it. So the king kind of... But he's vain, and he wants this new, exotic, one-of-a-kind outfit. And so he allows it to go on. And so he goes back, and being a wise king, of course, he has counselors, and he asks the counselors to go and check on it. And the counselors go, and they look at the looms, and here they are. There's nothing on them. Nothing going on. But they don't want to look like a fool. So they say, oh, yes, it's gorgeous. There's nothing like it. The shimmer and the glimmer of this. And so it finally comes the day for the king to wear the outfit. And he puts on his outfit, and he looks at himself and says, wow, this is so custom fit. It fits like a glove. It's just like there's nothing there. Because he doesn't want to seem like a fool, right? And so he now wants to present to his people the magnificent thing that has been created for him. And he goes out and he marches down naked. But all the people are saying, oh, the king, they're saying to themselves, the king's naked. But we don't want to look like a fool, so, oh, that is a magnificent, look at the shimmer, look at the, wow, look at the stitching on that, it is so fantastic. And then finally one kid says, hey, the king's running around naked. You see, we have a tendency to want to deceive people. And we need to realize that we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that there will be changes. There will be something the world can see that is different because we have put on Christ. It is not the outward trappings of church attendance, baptism, religious lingo, religious paraphernalia, but the conversion of the heart that matters, allowing the Lord Jesus to be the ruler of our lives. And so the question today really comes down to, are you awake to what the Spirit of God is putting upon your heart? Do you realize that you're going to have to push away the ways of this world?
And that you're going to need to learn that I can't just sit here and do nothing, but I need to walk in this world and show them that I have put on Christ. That my life has changed because Christ is in me and He is the hope of glory. That's the call today. That's the call that we need to respond to. And I wish I had an alarm clock. I should have thought about it. I could have sat here and let it go off and say, now is the time to wake up. And not smell the coffee, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. Living for Jesus. That really is the crux of all that we've said. Are you going to